There are a lot of questions in life. Some of them are complicated and some of them are simple. Some of them are easy and some of them are hard. Some of them you answer once and you're done with, and some seem to be coming back at you every time you turn around. But for all the questions in life, I think the most important is one simple, profound question. Who is God? Now, there are people who will say the real question is there a God? But I don't think so. I think most people know the answer to that question. You can pretend you don't. Get yourself a little intellectual curiosity if you do. I read of two philosophers, one Chinese and one British, who not only denied the existence of God, they denied the existence of other people and the existence of their own bodies, and clung stubbornly to the idea that the only thing that existed was their own mind. But I don't think most people believe that. I mean, if not in your head, in your gut, and surely in your bones, you know that there is a God. But who is God? Now that's the question. If God is sort of a far-off, distant force, you have a whole different life than if God is a present reality in your life. What's God like? There's a number of images of God. There was a book 20, 30 years ago by a Britisher named Phillips, J.B. Phillips, title of which was Your God is Too Small. The book itself is pretty small. It's a little thin paperback. You can probably still find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, whatnot, in a used books department for a couple of bucks. If you've never read it, invest a couple of bucks. Read it. He gives some great thumbnail sketches of very small gods that well-meaning Christian people carry around with them. So there are a lot of images of God, a lot of answers to who is God out there that are not only too small, some of them are malevolent and destructive. There are a lot of reasonable images of God out there, too, with a fair amount of truth in them. God is creator. Very first thing we hear about God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is covenant maker. God is lawgiver. God is judge. God is a whole bunch of things. And all of those are true. But who is God down at the core? What is the center, unalterable disposition of God's personality? Who is God? You can say a lot of things about yourself, about your spouse, your parents, your kids, a good friend. Describe them as a person. There are a lot of things out there that you can list. But who are they really? When you get down to the heart of them, who are they? Who is God? Makes a big difference what answer you give to that question. Most of the time the answer doesn't come from here. Most of the time the answer comes from here. At gut level, who is God for you? The scribes in today's gospel had an answer for that. God is righteous. God has made a covenant. God will stick by the covenant. God has unswervingly pledged God's self to the covenant. Good times and bad. And all of that is true. But from there they said, okay, and God expects us to do the same. Well, okay, still true. We are to be righteous. We are to be faithful to the covenant. Good times and bad. Then they went a little bit too far with this, a little too central to who their God was. If God is righteous, and God wants us to be righteous, then clearly God wants us to separate ourselves as God separates God's self from the unrighteous. And that's just a conclusion of who God is for them. They didn't even have to think about that. That just came naturally. So they are properly incensed about this young Pharisee rabbi from Galilee. who was not only to preaching to sinners, one might tolerate that, occasionally you might even convert one, but actually eating with them. In a society that, like ours, but more so, I think all societies have some idea of table fellowship is personal fellowship, you know? People you eat with, people you're bonded to. But that society in particular, to eat with someone was a gift given and received, was an honor taken and bestowed, was a bond created. He is eating with sinners. What's the meaning of this? How can he do such a thing? And he doesn't justify it. He doesn't answer it. He doesn't ever says, I eat with sinners because. Instead, he gets to the root of it. Right down to who their God is. And gives the basic answer. Your God is wrong. That's not who God is. Let me tell you who God is. And he tells them three stories. Three very different stories. Three different, very different pictures. But a same image of God at the core. You want to know who my God is? My God is like this shepherd with these 100 sheep. My God is like this woman with these 10 coins. My God is like this father with these 2 sons. You'll notice that all of them go somewhat over the top. Would you really leave 99 sheep in the desert while you went out and searched for one? Wouldn't that be sort of an imprudent thing for a shepherd to do? If you light a lamp and search the house searching for one coin, how much does the oil cost you? 2 coins? 3 coins? Not prudent. And the father goes beyond all reason. First of all, he in effect declares himself dead. I mean, if your kids came to you and one of them said, give me my share of the estate. What? You're going to sell your house, cash in your IRA, liquidate your whole estate, and divide it up to satisfy this kid. Sure you are. A boot in some place where it will do some good is a much more likely result. And then off it goes. When it comes back, and by this time in my mind it would definitely be an it, not a he or a she. When it comes back, I might, if properly cajoled, agree to the original proposition and give it a job on the farm. I would not, surely, treat it like a son or a daughter returning. But that's what this father does. And then the other son, who is as obnoxious for his self-righteousness as the other is for his arrogance, refuses to come in. What? Am I still the head of this household or not? When I say there will be a celebration, you will come in here, you will celebrate, and you will enjoy it. Not this guy. He goes out to him, gets up, leaves the party of which he is hosting, very publicly abdicates his position of authority and respect, and goes out and begins to bargain with this truculent child and plays the same game on him that Moses had played on God. God is saying, go down to your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt. And Moses says, oh no, do not destroy your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt. The father plays the same game. This your brother, after he said to him, this son of yours, blah, blah, blah. No, this brother of yours. He reasons with him and pleads with him. Way beyond what anybody would expect. This is who my God is. My God is like this shepherd. My God is like this woman. My God is like this father. That's who God is for me. Now, therefore, of course, I eat with sinners. I do what my God does. I want with all my heart to be who my God is.
be like that.
Well, this is the gospel. This is Jesus, the Son, telling us about the Father. It's not just gospel, it's an old aphorism. You know, that no one knows the Father except the Son. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. If you want to understand who God is, listen to Jesus. Look at Jesus. This is who Jesus God is. Presented to us. Look at your God. Who is your God? Your God may be a little of this and a little of that. You know, there's multiple images, and that's good. We need, you know, even this story has three different images. But where is the core of who God is? The core for Jesus is this extravagant compassion that just keeps going out and going out and going out beyond all reasonable bounds. If this is our God, and we want to grow up to be like that, then what people will notice about us is that we're a little strange, that we're a little imprudent, that our compassion does not have reasonable limits, that we keep going out and going out and going out to the righteous and the unrighteous, the Pharisee and the sinner, gathering everybody we can, sharing with anyone, able to look into any pair of human eyes and see the spark of God's flame. That's who Jesus God is. That's who our God should be. A God like this shepherd, like this woman, like this father.
Play with that one in your mind. You know the old Lectio Divina process?
Read the thing, think about it, pray about it, sit there in silence over it.
Well, you can do that on this without a text.
You don't need a Bible. Yeah, if you want the Bible once in a while for reference, it's the whole of the 15th chapter of Luke. Go do Lectio Divina on it in the traditional proper way. But you don't really need to do that.
You know these stories. You can tell them without a script in front of you.
Tell them to yourself. Tell the whole story with the frames. Do you remember what it's about? Jesus and the Pharisees disputing, this man welcomes sinners. And then tell yourself the story of the shepherd with 100 sheep. Tell yourself the story of the woman with the 10 coins. Tell yourself the story of the father with the 2 sons. And then think about it. And then pray about it. Soak into it. Immerse yourself. Sort of marinate yourself in these stories. In this image of God. Do it out loud. Tell the story. So not when you're around, you know, people. They'll think you're crazier than you really are. But when you're alone, tell the stories to yourself out loud. Listen to yourself telling those stories. Reflect on them frequently. Because they're the answer to the one question that really matters. Who is God? Sisters and brothers, let us pray.